10 and 11 in chapter 1. So far, he's given us an introduction. He's thanking God for the faith, love, and hope that all saints have. And after he's thanking God for the true salvation that has been brought about in these saints at Colossae, he turns to pray for them for two basic things in his prayer: that they would know the will of God, and that they would obey the will of God. And last week we looked at knowing the will of God, how important it is to know God's will, and how the power to obey comes through knowing, and not just through intellectually being aware, but actually knowing in your heart and being changed to the point that the will of God is actually your will, that your heart reflects the heart of God. And only when you want to do His will from an earnest desire from within, because of the knowledge has penetrated so deeply in you, it's become part of your identity, only then can you truly obey God, when His will becomes your will. But after knowing God's will, now we have to obey God's will. And this is what we're going to be looking at in verses 10 and 11, about how important it is to obey God's will, or another way of saying it, walking worthy of the Lord. Start with me. We'll start in verse 9, but we're going to preach on verse 10 and 11. Starting at verse 9, "And so from the day we've heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power, according to His glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy." Over and over, Paul says we're to walk worthily. We're to walk worthy unto the Lord. Ephesians 4:1 says, "As a prisoner of the Lord, I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of your calling." Philippians 1:27, "Only let the manner of your life be worthy of the gospel of Christ." 1 Thessalonians 2:12, "We exhort each one of you and encourage you and charge you to walk in a manner worthy of God." And here in our own text, verse 10, "to walk worthy of the Lord." What does that mean? Well, what it doesn't mean that you're worthy, and therefore that's why God saved you. In fact, it's the opposite. Only the unworthy will God save. Remember the centurion in Matthew chapter 8, verse 8? He says, "Lord, I'm not worthy for you to come into my house. Just say the word, and my servant will be healed." I'm not worthy. And that's the heart of true Christians. They recognize that they're sinners. They recognize that they're not worthy, that they're undone, that they're sinners, and they need grace. And we all stand at the foot of the cross in an unworthy manner, pleading for mercy, pleading for grace, pleading that God will be merciful to us. So walking worthy doesn't mean meriting our position. We get to our position by grace alone, by Christ alone, through faith alone. We're at the cross and been given salvation based upon grace. And now as Christians, now that we're born again, now we're called to walk in a manner that is worthy of the calling that we've been called to. We've been called to be the bride of Christ. that represents you. You have a name that's over your name. You have surrendered your life to Christ, and now He owns you, and you represent Him wherever you go, and you're called to walk or to live and conduct yourself in a manner, in a way that is suitable or appropriate to that which you've been called to. And you've been given a high, noble calling. You have been given the greatest of all calling, and that is to bring glory to God in every aspect of your life. You're to bring glory to God when all the eyes are upon you, when you have a platform and they're looking at you, and you're called to give glory to God when you're all by yourself doing laundry. You've been called to this, to walk for the glory of God. Now, are you walking in a way that is suitable or fitting or becoming of the calling that you've been called to? Are you walking in a way that's suitable to the Lord? This is what the word worthy means. It literally means suitable or fitting or appropriate. Last Monday, I went to St. Louis and we visited a building that used to house a church that was built in 1850. A beautiful, beautiful, old building that used to house a church. I'm not calling it a church building, but it was a gorgeous cathedral. It towered above the city skyline. At the top of the bell tower, you could see the whole city skyline of St. Louis. And it took 40 years for them to build that building. 40 years. It started in 1850, and then it wasn't completed until 1890. And you should see it on the inside. It's almost like you went to Europe, and you're looking at these old Gothic arches and things made out of marble and stone. And it's just, the craftsmanship is unbelievable. And it took 40 years to build it, and no telling how many millions of dollars even back in that day. We were there skateboarding. They turned it into a skate park. And at the lower level, there's, you know, graffiti spray painted everywhere. It was abandoned in 1984. The church was abandoned. It was left. The community had died and people had left and the church couldn't keep it. So they gave it to a organization and that they couldn't keep it. And then they ended up selling it to the skate park for $1. And now, granted, I love skating and it was a Catholic church. So it's probably being used in a better way than it did then. Nevertheless, there's something unfitting about a building of that nature, of that importance, being turned into something 10 or 15 kids use on the weekend. There's just something not fitting about that. Something is just that this is not right. This is a $1 million building plus. This is millions of dollar building. And it's falling apart because no one's paying attention to it. No one can upkeep it, and so they're just skating in the inside of it. Now, you know what you are. You're not just a building, you're the temple of the Holy Spirit. You have a much glorious purpose than some earthly building. You're the temple of God. You're beautifully and wonderfully made, the psalmist says. How are you using your body? How are you using your life? How are you using your tongue, your eyes, your ears, your hand, your heart, your brain? How are you using your body? Are you walking worthy of the calling which God has called you to? Or is it you're in bringing shame and disgrace by not living in a way that's suitable or fitting to that which you've been called to. To walk worthy is the opposite of walking unworthy or inappropriately, such as foul language. Paul tells us in Ephesians 5:4, let there not be any filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which is out of place, which means out of character, or the King James says, which is not fitting. It's not suitable. So as Christians, don't, you know, live in an unworthy manner, unsuitable manner, by having coarse joking and foolish talking. It shouldn't be among us. You know, I know some Christians says, oh, it's okay to use foul language. It's just words. Listen, God says don't do that. It's not fitting for a Christian to represent your God with such foolish language. Words are not just words. Communicate things. And you're to communicate the glory and the beauty and the splendor of God Almighty. So don't devalue God's name by talking such foolishly, especially using the name of the Lord in vain. Let not Christians say anything about the Lord's name in vain, even those little three-letter words that people use all the time. So it's just a word. No, it's God's name. It should be holy and reverent. Treat it worthily. And it should be something that you treat worthily because you represent God yourself. Rather than such language, we should, as Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as good for building up as fit for the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. You know, we're to walk in a certain way. We're to talk in a certain way. We're to behave in a certain way. And it's not the way of the world. This is what it means to walk appropriately, because it's not about you. It's about God. It's about His glory. Secondly, we see in verse 10, walking worthy means pleasing the Lord. It says in verse 10, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him. This is kind of an expansion of what it means to walk worthy. Walk worthy, fully or entirely or wholly pleasing to God. It should be our aim to please the Lord. Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 1, finally then, brothers, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus that as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God. This means that our conduct, our behavior, our conversations needs to please the Lord. What is pleasing to God? What makes Him happy? And of course, we already know that we have to know the will of God, right? We have to study the Scriptures. We got to know what makes Him happy. What is His will in these things? And that means studying the Scriptures and learning what God loves and what He hates, and adapting our life to what He wants. But once we know what He loves, once we know what He hates, that should be the very things that we love and hate, so that we may not just please ourselves, but please the One who made us. It is said of Jesus in Hebrews that He did not come to please Himself. That the Lord in His life, He came with a mission, He came with a purpose, He was given at a task, and His whole life was bent on accomplishing the purpose in which the Father sent Him to accomplish. So He wasn't here trying to collect different knickknacks for His home. He wasn't here trying to build up a bank account so He can have a nice nest egg. He wasn't here for all these other reasons that the people of the world live for. He was here to please the Father. And when the Lord asked John the Baptist if He could be baptized, and when John the Baptist did baptize the Lord Jesus, There was a voice from heaven who says, "This is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased." Now, wouldn't that be wonderful if the Lord said that about you? When if He could just say, "Hey, good job. Good job, my good and faithful servant." Because He watched your life and you pleased Him. You sought to live for yourself. Now, remember this. Right now, you've got positives and you've got negatives in your life. You've got hardships and you've got blessings. And your life is a mixed bag. And you can look at the negatives and get depressed. You can look at the positives and be thankful. You've got all these things going on in your life. But let me tell you something about your life. I know it's true about your life. Your life is not in your control. And you've been given an assignment to live out the providence that's been allotted to you. Either good or bad, sickness or health. God has given you this or that. And each of our lives are particularly different. And God has arranged us to live a certain life and to do the things that are set before us. And you may not like what's set before you. You might not like your circumstances. But this is not your life. You're not here to please yourself. This is not for you to get what you want. Life is bigger than that. It's to do what God has set before you, good or bad. I'm talking about good things or bad things. It's to live these things out in a way that pleases the Master. And no matter what is going on in your life, no matter if it's good or bad, you are called to please your Savior, to please the Lord. And not just please Him, but be fully pleasing to God. And if that becomes your heart's desire, you'll be more worried about doing that than not what you're not getting. Every opportunity is an opportunity to please God. And the devil can't take that away from you. Circumstances can't take that away from you. Nothing can take away the opportunity to please God. In every situation and circumstances, there is a way to please God. There's no temptation that you're going to face that there's not a door up that will allow you to go through which will be pleasing to God. You can please God in every situation, and we're called to do so. This also means that we can displease God by our walk. The Bible calls this grieving the Holy Spirit. Grieving the Holy Spirit. You know, when the Lord's grieved with what you're doing, if you're grieving the Spirit with what you're looking at or what you're listening to or how you're behaving or how you're thinking, it's grieving the Holy Spirit. If you have a grudge in your heart, an unforgiving spirit, if you have something that is not accordance to the will of God, you're grieving God with your walk. You know what God hates the most? And this should cause us all, including myself, it should cause us all to get on our knees quickly, is He hates the most. And the thing that will cause Him to stand up and act quickly, to discipline us, to correct us, to chastise us, the thing that He'll get us more trouble than anything else in our life is pride. God hates it. It doesn't please God. It disturbs God. It grieves God. A prideful look, an arrogant look, a prideful thought, "I'm important." That's the message of the world. You're important. You're good. You're somebody. Listen, that might be true, but you shouldn't think it. You are what you are only by the grace of God. You hang on by a thread. In any given moment, if any prideful look that you may have, any given moment, God can remove His grace, His kindness, His provisions, His support. He can remove it from you in a moment, and you become a cow eating grass in the field. Say, I would never do that. I would never say that. Humility pleases the Lord. He exalts, lifts up, honors the humble. That pleases God. So where do we begin with walking in a worthy manner? It begins with humility and it ends with humility. It's a walk of humility. It's a walk of service. This pleasing the Lord wholly or fully, as the text says, it means to please the Lord in all aspects of our life, in our family life, in our work life, our personal life, with our time, with our money, with our health. Every aspect of your life needs to be in submission to God. Every aspect of your life should be done for the glory of God. But it just doesn't mean in all spheres or aspects of our life. It also means to the fullest extent of our ability. The psalmist said in Psalm 119, with all my heart I have served you. With all my heart. I've watched people study for tests, and I've seen people who don't study for tests and hope they do okay. But I've seen people just give everything they had to studying for the test. Study, 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 and study. And exhausted themselves, prepare themselves for the test. I've watched that. I've seen friends do that. Are you doing that for the Lord? Have you examined the different aspects of your life and said, hey, am I spending my money? Am I spending my money in a way that pleases God? He said, God's not worried about that. Now, I believe we have Christian liberties. Trust me. I think we got freedom to buy things we just enjoy for the sake of enjoying them. And we can give God glory for the tiny blessings or the big blessings that God gives us. I mean, if you want the red car, get the red one. Go ahead, enjoy it. I'm serious about this. But you see, only get the red one if you can give God glory in the red one. You can do everything for the glory of God, even enjoy the things that God has richly provided for you to enjoy. But if you cannot do it for the glory of God, cut it off. Have nothing to do with it. What about your family? Husbands, are you loving your wives? God's called you to love your wife. Are you loving your children, mothers, as God has called you to love them? I know it can be hard and it can be draining. Life is difficult. It's difficult and it's easy to complain. It's easy to, under our breath, be frustrated. And I'm telling you, every frustration is a frustration at the wise, good providence of our Savior. First Samuel 12 says, obey the Lord and serve Him faithfully with all of your heart. Give it all. Leave everything out there. I was talking to my nephew yesterday about him playing football, and I used to play basketball, and we talked about how if we could go back and relive those glory days, that if I could have my athletic ability that I had then, but my, you know, awareness in my mind now, what a player I would have been. If I could just go back and take it serious. Because I can tell you, I regret this. I did not lay it all out there. I didn't give it all my effort. I didn't become the best basketball player I could have been. And I know that. But here we have 40 years to live, 20 years to live, 10 years to live, 5 years to live. Some of you have got 60 years to live. You've got a little bit of life left. Give it all. Give it all. Maximize your time. Redeem the time. Figure out what you're doing bad and figure out what you need to change. Figure out what could be done better. Figure out what could be most pleasing to the Lord with every ounce of time, every ounce of energy, every ounce of gifting that you have. And give it all to Christ. That's what it means to walk worthy. Now, otherwise, say this. Say this to yourself. Don't do it. Don't do what I'm saying. Say, I'm just going to give 50% of what you're talking about. I'm good with just going on the way I have been going on. I'm doing a good job. I'm happy with this. Say that. Then say this. Because Christ is just not worthy of any more. Say he's not worthy to receive more of your heart, more of your energy, more of your affection, more of your life. Say he's not worthy of that. Say that what you've given him is enough. That he doesn't deserve any more than what you have done. Say that to yourself. Three. Walking worthy means walking in good works. Look at verse 10. You know, fully pleasing to God. And it says, bearing fruit in every good work. John 15 says, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. Not just some fruit, but much fruit. That you're overbearing. You know, I planted some pepper plants at the beginning of the season. And, you know, it took a while for peppers to come in. And you got one, you got two. But it's amazing. I just pulled up my pepper plants just a couple days ago. Because of the frost. But when I pulled them off, all of them were overbearing with peppers. I mean, they had peppers on each branch. There was probably 10 peppers on each branch. And that pepper plant was just weighted down. It was unbelievable the amount of peppers on a single plant. And some of you Christians look like that. Some of you got a pepper here and a pepper there. But other of you Christians, you're just overwhelmingly blooming with peppers. Jimmy is like, man. But that's the way we're called to live. Bearing much fruit. Bearing fruit and every good work. That's why he's called us, Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has ordained that we should walk in. This is why we're a Christian, is to bear fruit. You're called to do good works. And this fruit is internal and it's external. First, you need the internal fruit. We call these the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, mercy, kindness, long-suffering. These things need to abound in you. They need to be overwhelmingly blooming in your life. And if they are internally in you, they're going to flow out of you. If you have love in your heart, I promise you, you're going to be filled with outward external good works to your neighbor. What's in the heart comes out of the heart. So you need to be blooming with the fruits of the Spirit. And that leads not just to good works within, but it leads to good works outside of you, with your hands. One of my favorite people is a pastor in, up north. And he's an older pastor. And he's given me much encouragement. And he told me, he says, Jeff, at my age, I don't expect to do at this point in my life anything great or notable. I don't expect to be remembered or written a biography written about me. But what I do hope when my life is over, that I've done a bunch of small things that people don't remember, that I don't remember. I've done a bunch of small things that on that great day, it'll be a big pile. See, sometimes we just want to be the big thing, just one big thing. I did this. God hasn't called us to be these great, super, big, notable things so we can get attention, so we can have the spotlight on us. Some people do that and they get their reward in this life. But if you're just be faithful, folding clothes, faithful, changing diapers, faithful, loving your children, faithful at witnessing to your lost loved ones, faithful at cooking dinner with a spirit of love. Not as man pleasers, but as unto the Lord. When you go to work tomorrow, if they ask you to sweep the floor, say, "Yes, sir. Yes, sir, I'll be glad to do it." And don't do a half-hearted job at sweeping the floor. Do it as if it's God's floor. Do it as you're serving the Lord, because you are. And sweeping the floor will be a good work that no one will notice. You won't get a raise. But I promise you, it will be forever remembered in glory. The little things done well. That's what pleases God. I think He's more pleased with unknown, very important people, but unknown people. Not nobodies, but unknown people. Unknown Christians doing a lot of little things over and over and over and over for the glory of God. What if you just did one good work a day? Now, you could do a lot more than that. You could fill up your day with good works. From the moment you wake up, you could start praying. I mean, start doing good from the moment you awake and say, "I'm going to try to do good until the moment I sleep. And may the Lord protect me while I'm asleep." But what if you just did one good deed a day? It adds up. Paul tells us in Titus, verse 8 of chapter 3, "The saying is trustworthy, and I want you to be instant in all these things, so that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works." Now, this is a command to give yourself to this, to devote yourself to this, to make this a point of your life. Make this an endeavor. I mean, don't go, "Well, if I intentionally do it, it's not good. It has to be done spontaneously without me thinking about it." No, be intentional. I'm going to call soul to soul today. You know, if you're not intentional about doing something, you sometimes won't do it. I need to call soul and soul. I know I need to. I've been needing to do it for 2 weeks, right? Who feels that way? Who feels that way? They know they needed to do something. They haven't done it. They got good intentions, but you just don't do it because life takes over and you just don't get things done. Be intentional about doing good deeds. And once you do a good deed, do another one. Do another one. Fill your life up with good works. You know, we're not saved by good works, but I promise you we are saved unto them, for them, so that we can do them. What does it mean to walk worthy? Fourthly, it means growing in knowledge. Look at verse 10. At the end of verse 10. "And increasing in the knowledge of God." Now, this is amazing because he starts off by praying that we would know the will of God. And that says you that you may know the will of God so that you can do the will of the Lord. And then part of doing the will of God is coming back and learning more about the knowledge of God. What it's just saying is that you don't stop learning. You have to know in order to do, and the more you do, the more you will learn. And this is part of the process, is growing in grace. But the Bible tells us that we grow in grace by growing in the knowledge of the Lord. There's no growth in grace without growing in the knowledge of God. That's what Peter says. "Grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord." He also says, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God." And in our text, it says that you may grow in spiritual wisdom and understanding. In verse 10, it says, "so that you may walk worthy of the Lord." We need to treasure God's Word. We need to treasure the things of God. It needs to be a part of our life. We need to meditate upon His law. And it's by the knowledge of God dwelling richly in our lives that we are empowered. In fact, that's what verse 11 goes on to say. And this is the fifth thing that marks walking worthy, is that means walking in power, being strengthened with all power. This is so important to say and to understand, is though we have a responsibility to walk in a certain manner, we can't do it on our own. Some of you are like, okay, Jeff, I've been trying. I know what you're saying. You're telling me to do good. You're telling me I shouldn't do that. You're telling me to correct my language and watch what I watch and watch what I see and be good to people. And you're telling me all the things I know to be true, but I just can't do it. Well, if you can't do it, there may be a possibility you're not saved. You understand? If you're still enslaved to sin, you may not have been redeemed from the power of sin. But all Christians struggle with sin. I mean, the flesh is weak. And we can struggle with some sins over and over again. It is true. However, the key to overcoming sin is not saying, I'm just going to resolve not to sin again. Because you can't obey God in the flesh, just in your own power. Having good resolutions and intentions and having your own strength is not sufficient to walk worthy of the Lord. You can't do it. See, you need supernatural strength. You need supernatural power. You need strength from heaven. You need to be strengthened with all power. And that's not your power. You need divine power. You need divine help. You need God to obey God. To walk in a manner that's worthy of the Lord comes from God Himself. What did Paul say? It's amazing. It's one of the most fascinating verses in the Bible, at least in my opinion. He says about the other apostles, I've worked harder. I've labored harder. I've done more work than they. I've outproduced them. I've outproduced all the other apostles. It's true. He did. He bore more fruit than the other apostles. And he says it. But he says, yet it's not I, but the grace of God in me. He recognized that he only did what he did because of supernatural grace in his life. If you've done anything worthy, it comes from God empowering you. It comes from grace. That means you didn't merit it. It doesn't mean you deserved it. It didn't mean that, hey, you put out the first amount of effort and then God saw your effort and then He come behind you to assist you. No, God fueled you, empowered you, strengthened you, and therefore you've done what you've done only by the grace and power of God. That's why Hebrews 13 says, now made our Lord equip you with every good thing that you may be able to do His good will. Often if you find yourself failing, it's because you're working in your own strength. And you need to give up. The first step of overcoming addictions to sin, first step, is repenting and giving up. I can't do it. I need help. And it's only when we think we're strong that we're on the verge of falling. But it's when we're weak and we know we're weak. I've already said this in the sermon, but you know, you're just a breath away from going into the vilest of all sins. One breath away. God just has to remove His grace from you, His restraining grace. And some of you haven't committed worse sins, and this is true of me. We haven't fell into worse sins only because God did not put us in that opportunity. God restrained us out of His mercy. He's restrained us. That's why we pray, Lord, lead us not into temptation, because we know if God did lead us into temptation, and if God's grace wasn't around us, we would fall to temptation. Is that not true of every one of us? I know it's true of me. Take no confidence in your flesh. Take none. Look to God. Because you need supernatural power. You need strength from above. You need the strength of the Lord. You need divine power. You know, the Christian life is not accomplished on a single charge. You know, you charge your phone up and the next day, the next night, you're putting it back on the plug to charge it up for the next day. And you do that. You keep it charged up. But some of you are not keeping your life charged. And you think, well, you know, when I was first Christian or 6 months ago, I was so zealous for the Lord. I was running on all this energy and I was just had the joy of the Lord, and that joy was my strength. And you're living off 6 months ago energy. And you wonder why you're not doing well today. Well, you're not meant to live on yesterday's bread. You're not meant to live on yesterday's charge. This is why we come to church every week. We read our Bibles every day. Because we need fresh energy. We need new energy. We need to be renewed daily. We need our food for the day. We need our strength for the day. We need God for today. We need future grace as much as we need past grace, as much as we need present grace. It is only through God, Paul tells us in Philippians 4, that we can do all things. Only through God. Paul says, I can do all things through Him who gives me strength, power. And listen, it's not just some power. It says, what does it say? Be strengthened with all power. Get fully charged. Get the strength, the power that you need by looking to Jesus, by looking to the Word. Only by that can you expect to walk in a worthy manner. And my last point, as we bring this to a conclusion, 6, walking worthy means walking faithfully. So it's not just walking for today or walking just yesterday, but it's walking with perseverance tomorrow and the day after that. This is a race. Look at verse 11. According to His glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy. See, we need strength because our journey is long. Fourteen years ago, one of my favorite preachers who preached in our church fell with sexual immorality. And the worst thing about it, he didn't repent afterwards. His whole family. Lost his family, divorced, children, no longer, some of them don't talk to him anymore. We heard yesterday that he may have finally repented. But I think about this man. He was 46 when this happened and pastored for a good, probably 20 years before it happened. I'm 43. What if that happened to me? I'm telling you, it could happen. It could happen to any of us. Do you not understand this thing of how pride can lead to a great fall? Don't think you're going to stand and just coast in without walking daily for the Lord. The Bible tells us to pick up our cross daily, to crucify ourselves daily. We must believe daily, every day. And this thing takes not just a good start. It takes endurance. It takes patience. That means it takes faithfulness and discipline. The Christian walk cannot be done worthily without discipline and faithfulness. This is a race. We must endure to the end. We must be patient. We must work day after day after day and keep believing, keep believing, keep believing. Because it's not those who start, but it's those who endure to the end that shall be saved. And thus, to walk worthy is to walk every day in humble faith and love. Being disciplined in our life. Hey, let me just really tell you this. For some of you may need this. Some of you have this. Have good habits. Set an alarm. Set an alarm. That's a good habit. Extend your prayer time. I mean, it's like this. Do it day after day. It'll be hard. It'll be hard. It'll be hard. But then it becomes a habit. Because this is not about just, you know, give all you have in one day and run out, and the next day you're back worse than you were when you started. It's about enduring. It's about having a pace that you can keep up day after day. Having discipline. Hebrews 10:36, you need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. You remember in Revelation chapter 3, the Lord was rebuking the church of Sardis. And basically, it says some of them have wandered off. But then it goes on to say, to those that haven't sinned, that need to repent, He says, yet you have still a few names in Sardis. I mean, here's a church. And what if the Lord said this about our church, Grace Bible Church? You know, here we got 100 people plus here. What if the Lord just said, you have a few names? Wouldn't that be discouraging? There's one or two of you, three of you out there. But what does it say? Who have not sold their garments. And they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. For what we're talking about. They are the ones who conquer, will be clothed thus in white garments, and I will not blot their names out of the book of life. I will confess their names before my Father and before His angels. There are some names in this church of Sardis that hadn't spoiled their garments with sin. They're the ones who have walked worthy. This is talking about a long period of time. You know, two things you need to run well. If you're going to run, two things you need. And I don't have much of this when it comes to physical running, but these are the things you need. Strength and endurance. You know, you got to work up your strength. You can't run a marathon the first time you get out there. You got to have strength. You got to build up the strength. You got to build this up. It takes a little bit, and then the next day a little bit more, a little bit more, and you're building up strength. Then you just have to have the fortitude of mind. I'm not giving up. I'm not quitting. So a lot of times, what makes you go longer and harder is just that endurance. I'm going to keep trucking. I'm going to keep doing this. I'm going to keep at this. And the discouragement comes, I'm going to keep doing this. This is how you get things accomplished. I remember studying the Greek language and getting so frustrated because my mind wasn't gifted in languages. And I studied and studied, and finally I got to a point like, I don't know any of this language. I thought, I've been studying for years, and I don't know any of it. You know what I did? I went back to the alphabet. Went back to the alphabet, learned my alphabet again, started over. And I said to myself, if I just keep this up every day, I don't care if I'm the worst student out there. If I do this every day for a certain amount of time every day, even I have to start over every day, I'll eventually get this. Endurance. Don't grow weary in well-doing. Some of you are doing the right things. You've been doing the right things. You're praying for your daughter. You're praying for your son. You're praying for your brother. You've been doing it, but you haven't seen much results yet. You're doing the right things, but I'm telling you, don't give up. Don't grow weary in that. You're doing it. Just keep up. The devil is telling you it's not working. You need to give up. You need to find something else to do. Just keep doing what you know to do, regardless if you see any fruit. And in due season, if you do not grow weary in well-doing, you shall reap a harvest. The Bible has made that clear and has made that promise. Now listen, finally, it says, for all endurance and patience with joy. I love this because it's not just having endurance and there's no joy in the present. Yes, it's hard, and sometimes the work is laborious and difficult, but there's joy in even the process. There's joy in even working. There's joy in running. There's joy in persevering. And God has given us a way of walking worthy. It's not just being faithful and enduring, but to do this faithful endurance with joy. Sweep that floor with a song in your heart. Do it with the joy of the Lord, because you'll find it's the joy of the Lord that'll be your strength. In conclusion, what does it mean to walk worthy of the Lord? It means walking appropriate to His glory. What's it fitting to bring Him glory and honor? It means pleasing God. It means walking in good works. It means increasing in the knowledge of God. It means walking in power. And finally, it means walking in perseverance or faithfulness. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.